Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Amen. Amen. How's everybody today? Good, good, good. So just as we kind of make a transition here, our orchestra is going to play a bomb in Gilead, and then after that, before we do anything else, I want to make another announcement, but gonna just as we start worship, as we continue worship today, just kind of think about what God wants for you. Today we're going to talk about going off and how we follow God, but also how not to go off. Okay, how many of you know what that term means in our current world? If you just go off, what does that mean? Get mad. Get mad. Get mad. So how do we follow God and go off, but not go off on what God's asked us to do? So when you're going off and you're getting ready to follow God, there's a lot of things that go through our hearts and our minds. One of those is, why am I having to do this? And another one of those is, how am I going to do this? When you think about that, you're going to hear the story of Naaman in a little while. Naaman out of 2 Kings. And what he did was he was a man of great stature. He was one that everybody wanted to be like, and people wanted to emulate him. And so he had that, but when God called him to do something that he was not expecting, he really didn't know how to handle it. So as we stand and we worship, I want you to continue to focus on what is God calling you to do. As we praise God and as we sing praises to Him, think about the blessings and the opportunities, the tools and the resources He is giving you to go off and do what He's called you. So before I get started, I just wanted to take a personal note of thanks to all of you for the anniversary gift you gave to my family. And we went to Costa Rica on what y'all did for us, and so we had a great time, and that was wonderful, and you're lucky we came back, and it was fantastic, and thank you so much. It's so funny when I tell people how we got there and what we were doing, they're all surprised that any church would keep a pastor for 20 years, and I'm so thankful that y'all have, and we wouldn't want it any other way, so I hope it stays that way. And also, just on another note before we read Scripture, there might be a QR code or a slide there. Right, so if you would like sermon notes for today, I do this out at the Southwest. Don't expect Andy to do it. It is time consuming and it is kind of a pain, but it does, I think it helps people when you leave. If you want these notes, you can scan that and with your phone, and it will send you to a site, and it'll give you the notes from today. Kind of give you some extras too. If you know, every pastor does this. When I start a sermon during the week, y'all can't handle that length of time, and so I narrow it down to what you can handle. All the extras of the study and everything else are in the notes, and so it's kind of nice to have that, and so you can do that as well. Now then, back to your calisthenics, your Christian calisthenics. Would you please stand as we read the God's holy word today? This is a story about Naaman. Naaman was a commander in the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went to his own master, the king of Aram, and he told him about the girl from Israel had said, and he said, "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and he said, "Am I God? Can I kill to bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king had torn his robes, he sent this message. "Why are your robes torn? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a message to him saying, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan. Your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." You may be seated. So, just this idea of how many have you been upset about the events in your life, and how many of you have been upset about the kind of the unmet expectations in your life. Some of it is stuff that just happens that's not good, and those are hurtful things, and those are hard things. But some of it is we just have an expectation of how life is supposed to go, and it doesn't always go that way. How many of you have had your lives not go exactly how you had hoped they would go? Yeah, I think all of us. And sometimes that even happens when God is in charge. When God calls us to something, sometimes it's hard and sometimes it doesn't work out quite the way that we think it should. Unmet expectations cause us to kind of sometimes go off, right? And so when I say go off, sometimes it's we go off and we're following something or doing something, but sometimes we go off because we're mad. We're upset about what God has placed in our lives, what He's called us to, what somebody's how they're trying to derail us, all those different things. Naaman was in this spot because as the story goes on, remember, Naaman's he's kind of the guy. He's kind of a big deal. He rose up to Elisha's house. It's a motorcade. Okay, look, he says he has his horses and his chariots. Okay, it's him, his servants, some of his other soldiers, his guard, whatever. He rose up to Elisha's house and he expects people to greet him. And Elisha sends his servant out to give him a message. And here's what happens. But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters in Israel? Couldn't I just wash in them and be cleansed?" And so he went off in a rage. Not my words, God's word. He went off in a rage. He was so mad. Now, Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored, and he became clean like that of a young boy. Spectacular. God told him exactly what he needed to do. God answered his prayer. God gave him the solution. And yet, he went off mad. I've been there. I've done that. We all do it at some way. Here's what I want you to hear today. The dual teaching is, how do you go off and follow God? But also, how do you go off and follow God and not go off in a rage? Because if you're old enough, if you're wise enough, you've gone off in a rage enough times that you now know it's just not worth the time to go off in a rage, right? You've seen all over the place people are throwing temper tantrums more than ever in life, right? I mean, it's just happening everywhere. Airplanes, grocery stores, kids' sporting events. It happens at churches. It happens out in the street. It happens on the news. It's everywhere. People are throwing temper tantrums like never before. Why is that? Because they're going off in a rage. Not really because they probably didn't get their way, but because they had unmet expectations. I really think that's probably the most powerful part of our society, is our expectations are probably entirely too high for the standard that we have to be living, okay? We all want the very best, right? But I don't think that if you don't get your extra hot 2-pump vanilla 2% latte on time, or they forgot one of the pumps, that you don't get to go off and be mad. Amen? Come on now. Y'all have 2-pump lattes, I know. Okay, I mean, y'all know these things, right? You don't get to be mad when I'm just going to say it right now. So in between services, we went to United and got a quick bite to eat. Patience is not a virtue that I embrace readily, okay? I'm not very patient. I like things to go and I like things to move along. And so we're standing in line, right? We're going to check out. this one's taking too long. I take the family and I move over to the next line because there's only one person in that line. Well, so there's two in front of us in the first line. There's only one in the next line. I go to the next line. The guy has to dig for pennies and nickels and dimes, and the people that were in front of us in the other line are already checked out and moving on. And what does Robin say to me? Smooth move. I'm like, she goes, you just talked about patience in the first service. I'm like, yeah, I know. We just want everything. We want it now. And we want it the way we want it. Not just quickly. We're willing to wait sometimes if we just get it the way we want it. But Naaman, he didn't get it the way he wanted. And so he went off, right? He was mad. How many parents in the room? Raise your hands. How about this? Parents in the room, well, I mean, it doesn't really matter. But parents in the room with children at home right now also, right? Parents in the room with teenagers at home right now. Yeah. I mean, you talk about patience and trying not to go off. I mean, just think about it just for a second. I mean, you have to have so much patience to raise children. Amen? Amen. Actually, you just have to have patience to have children no matter where they are. Amen? See, that's a different deal right there. But I mean, it's not easy. And you have to be careful not to go off. And when I say it's not easy, I mean, I really believe there is a reason why the childhood of Jesus disappeared when he turned 13 until he came back when he was about 29 or 30. I mean, people that talk about parenting the wonder years, they didn't ever do it. Amen? Come on. I mean, you can just go off so easy. So easy. Because we don't empathize with other people. We don't put ourselves in their place. We don't try to understand. We just look at them and judge, and that's what was happening here. Naaman was judging everybody around him because he didn't understand what they were trying to do for him. He didn't even understand what God was trying to do for him. It seems that more and more people are going off, even like Naaman did, because I think we reduce everything down in our life to one emotion, and that is anger. We don't think about disappointment, right? We don't think about empathy whatsoever. We don't think about sadness. We just all this stuff starts happening and we just get mad. See, there's more than one emotion. I think we have a slide, maybe. We have several, right? Y'all remember this little Disney movie right here? And you can decide which one you are. I mean, there's sad, there's happy, and there's, I don't know what they all were. Obviously, there's anxiety up there, 100%. But most of us skip all those others, and we pass, we go straight from the yellow to the red, and here's what we do, next picture. Ah! Yeah? This is what Naaman did. He had this whole journey, right? And I don't know why he went off other than the fact that he just got angry at what was going on in his life, the circumstances of his life. And you can be angry, by the way. I mean, it is a valid emotion, okay? But what does Scripture say? Ephesians 4:26, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. There's righteous anger. I've taught on righteous anger. We should be angry about poverty. We should be angry about injustice. We should be angry about just social issues, homelessness, all the different things. We should be angry about the things that anger God. Jesus got angry. He kicked over tables, right? I mean, Jesus wasn't a happy guy when he kicked over the tables. He got angry, but it's a righteous anger. Not just going off for the sake of going off, but in a righteous anger. But anger is never the primary issue. It's what's underneath that gets us to that. And for Naaman, it was leprosy, a terrible skin disease. Not just was it painful and all the things that it did to him physically, but socially, in his family. It made you an outcast. It ostracized you. It pushed you away because people didn't know how to handle it. They were scared of it. They didn't want to catch it. They didn't know what it, you know, they just knew there was no cure. And so what would happen to him if people found out, he was going to be cast out. This is the guy that was, you know, he had a star on the Israel Walk of Fame, right? Come on now, I got jokes, so I have to keep up. I mean, he had a star, but if he gets leprosy, he's out. He was the man in the army, but if he gets leprosy, he's out. He's not even washing dishes. He's gone. He's an outcast. His family, his friends, his king, his wife, his children, he's out. And let me tell you what leprosy represents for us always in Scripture. Sin. Always represents sin, because the leprosy that would push him away because people didn't know how to handle it, because when they saw it, it was ugly and it was nasty and it was scary and they didn't know how to deal with it. They didn't want to be close to it. Sin is the same for us, because when you start airing your dirty laundry and your sinfulness, and if people really knew all the things that you had to hide, you're afraid people don't want to be around you and be in relationship with you. And what did Elisha say? He said, you need to be in relationship, right? He goes, you need to come to me. The little girl, the servant, said, you need to go see a prophet in Israel. You need to have a relationship. You need to see him. DeLee Jordan, in a staff meeting this last week, said something fantastic about being in relationship with each other. You know, the passage of Scripture where it says, if you have a plank in your eye, pull it out before you try to get the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Right? You know this. Even if you could get all the planks out of your own eye, all the sin, all the judgment out of your own eye, and as you look at somebody else and you want to judge them, you have to get closer. How many of you have tried to get an eyelash out of somebody's eye before? Right? I mean, you have to be right here. Okay? I mean, you're not only trying to get the eyelash out of their eye, you're trying to keep the nose hair out of your mouth. I know that's gross, but that's how close you have to be. You are breathing the same air, right? I mean, you're inhaling what they're exhaling. I mean, you are close. That's a relationship. I can't be in relationship with you and help you with your sin from this far off, right? I don't know what speck Paul has in his eye back there, because I can't hardly even see his eyes, right? See, we have to be close. Naaman, if he had leprosy, he could not be in relationship. He had to be cleansed. He had to be healed for him to be who God had called him to be. And so for us, that's what we need. Now, Naaman was a commander in the army of Aram. He was a great man. I mean, he was the guy, okay? Naaman was the guy that everybody wanted to be. He was on all the cereal boxes in all of Israel. I mean, he was the guy, okay? And he was the guy that all the girls wanted to go out with. He was the one that everybody wanted to be a follower on Instagram. Everybody wanted a selfie with Naaman, okay? I mean, am I getting all the generations here? Am I catching everybody? He was it. I mean, the guys wanted to be like Naaman. He was so good. But yet, if he had leprosy, I mean, he was famous. But his stature was all he knew. That's the only way he knew how to live. And we are the same way, by the way. Doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how wise you are, how old you are. It doesn't matter if you're retired or if you're working. We all want to be known. We all want some kind of status. I mean, this is what we do. I mean, we do it with cars. We do it with houses. We do it with, we talk about vacations. We talk about clothes. We talk about jobs. We talk about what we did on the weekend, whatever. Adults are kind of no different than kids are when it comes to status. I mean, because we even talk about our kids as a status symbol, right? Well, my kid's the quarterback at so-and-so school, or my daughter, she's Clara in the Nutcracker, or for some people it's like, well, you know, mine beat that felony charge and didn't have to serve too much time. He got probation. We all brag. It doesn't matter what we brag about. We all brag about our status. And Naaman, he wanted to keep his status. But when he walked out and he saw what was going on, he knew he would lose his status. And you do, just like Naaman does, by the way. I mean, you think you're different right now, but I mean, I don't know how it worked with Naaman, but maybe he walked into the bathroom after he got done with a training session with his army, and they had done some drills or whatever, and he gets into the bathroom, and you all do this, by the way. Every one of you, don't lie to me, I know you do, is you take your clothes off, and you're getting undressed, and whether you're partly dressed or fully naked in front of the window, the mirrors. I mean, you're looking at yourself and you're like, yeah. I mean, in Naaman's, I mean, he's the guy. I mean, you can imagine what Naaman might have looked like. I mean, if he's all that and a bag of chips, he's the guy. He's looking at himself, he's like, Who's the man? Naaman. Who's the man? Naaman. Who's the man? Naaman. You know? Y'all do this. I know you do. I know you do. Paul, I know you do it. Right? Scott. Ladies, don't tell me you don't go in the bathroom and go, okay, walk off. I know you do. We all do it. But maybe Naaman looked, and as he's doing that, and he's checking himself out, and he's thinking about how good he looks, he goes, what's that? He goes, it's a spot. And he knew his whole world was over. He had leprosy. Uncurable. And it was going to grow, and it was going to spread, and it was going to eat his skin, and it was not going to be good. But you know what he did? And he had to, because he left, and he continued on. He put his armor back on. How many of us do that? We cover up our spots with our armor, with how good we look, with the statuses that we have, the things that we don't talk about, the things that we don't want people to know about. We just cover it up with jobs and family and whatever, our Instagram and Facebook, and we have Facebook lives instead of real lives. We all look good on Facebook, amen? But yet Naaman, he had to at least told his wife, because there had to be some conversation going on in the house, because the little servant girl knew what was going on. And I'm assuming that God could have told her and just really spoke straight to her and said, you need to prophesy. But I think that maybe she heard Naaman and his wife crying and talking and trying to figure out how they were going to handle this and how they were going to go. But the little servant girl went to Naaman's wife and said, If only my master would go see the prophet in Samaria, he would cure him. Not maybe, not he might, not if he goes and he does this and this and this. No, he said if he would just go see him, he would heal him. Now listen to me. This is a little girl that's a servant, that's a slave, that shouldn't be talking to anybody. But yet she did. But yet she did. She reached out and she said something. And Naaman would have not gotten his miracle in the way that this played out in history if she hadn't have spoken up. I'm just wondering for all of us, who's waiting on their miracle, waiting on for you to speak up about Jesus Christ? Waiting on you to offer the gospel to them? Waiting on you to offer forgiveness and mercy and grace? Waiting on you to say, if you will just pray about this, if we could just work through this with the Lord, if we could just follow Him. See, sometimes I think that's the way it works. I think that we have to speak up in order for people to know who God is, for God to work the way He really, really wants to. Sometimes He's just waiting on us. That's a whole different sermon, but I think it's true. The servant started the miracle because she spoke up. She was nameless, but she wasn't faithless. We don't know who this little girl is. We never heard anything else about her, but she was powerfully faithful because while she was enslaved, she talked about her God. While she was maybe, she might not have even known if her parents were alive anymore. She didn't know where her family was anymore. There could have been horrible things, yet even as a servant, she was speaking up for the Lord. I think there's a message in that for some of us. And even after that word was given to him, he still tried to go do it on his own. I've done that. I don't know about you, but Lord says, do this, this, and this. And I'm like, well, I don't like this plan, so I'm going to follow my own plan. I'll get to the end, but I need to do it my way. And he went to his king, and the king sent him to another king, and that didn't turn out so well. But finally, it got to the place where even Naaman, where Elisha heard what was going on and said, send him to me. Send him to me so that he will know that there is a God, that he will know that there is a prophet, that there is a God in Israel that's alive and well. And so he went. And it wasn't just a little thing. I've already said that. I mean, it's like a whole entourage with him. I mean, he took 10 sets of clothes. I mean, that's a clothes hound right there. I mean, why would he take 10 sets of clothes? Right? All that money, he didn't need all that money. But yet, he took all that with him because he had a persona to uphold. He needed people to see who he was. And so I bet when he rolled into town, I'm just assuming if Elisha lived in the parsonage, he didn't live in a really good part of town. You know what I mean? And golly, y'all are going to have to keep up. So, I mean, he if he was a man of God, he didn't live over on the south side, right? He didn't live next to the king. He lived somewhere else. And when Naaman rolled in, everybody knew who Naaman was. I mean, they were talking in the streets and they were following behind him to see where he went. And I don't know how that was looking, but when Naaman pulled up to Elisha's house, there was Elisha's servant inside. And I promise you, if Elisha's servant was anything like all the rest of us, he knew who Naaman was too. And when Naaman rolled up, I mean, it was like, oh, it's Naaman, right? I mean, Naaman's here. Elisha, come look. Elisha's back there watching TV. I don't know what he might have been watching, but he's back there watching TV going, I don't care. I told him to come see me. And Naaman's outside, and Elisha goes, just go tell him to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. I don't know about you, but if I was a servant, I'm like, you go tell him to dip in the Jordan River 7 times. This is your deal. He's like, nope, just go tell him. So he walks out there and he tells Naaman. So Elisha, the prophet, you know, the guy that's in the house that you came to see, he said, go dip in the Jordan 7 times. He goes, is he not coming out to see me? No, he's back there praying and studying scripture. He's really doing some holy things. Naaman's like, looks like he's watching TV to me, right? It's really, really, Elisha's just really giving the example of saying, it's not about the person who delivers the message. It's the power of the person in the message. It's not about Elisha. Elisha didn't want credit for it. He goes, I'm not going out to see him. He goes, that's just going to make me look like I really care more about him than anything else, and I don't. I just care about the message that I'm sending. See, he wanted the power of the message. And so Naaman did. He was mad. He went off. You heard about that. He went off, but he did go. After his servants talked some sense into him, after the people around him heard what God had told him to do, he said, look, just go do it. Just go try it. And so Naaman went. Naaman went to the river, to the Jordan River. And Naaman had to get in. Okay? People are looking. People are watching. I mean, it's Naaman. It really is a big deal in Scripture. And so they followed him to the river, maybe. Maybe people at the river say, oh my gosh, it's Naaman. No. You know, and everybody starts, all the buzz starts and people start coming. And when Naaman got in the river, you know, he had to take all that armor off. And then he exposed his spots. And as he exposed his spots, boy, you know that rumor started fast. Naaman's got leprosy. Naaman, the great Naaman, the valiant soldier, the chosen one, the one that God has worked through, he's got leprosy. Matt, the valiant soldier, the one God works through, he has sin. And yet Naaman had to get into the river. And he just couldn't go ankle deep. It said you got to dip 7 times. And unless Naaman was going to get down and roll around like a dog in a puddle of water, he had to go out into the river. He had to go deep into the Jordan River. And as he did, he went down once and he came back up and there was nothing. And I think for us, that's where we get stuck. We do something once and it doesn't work. We listen, we pray once and it doesn't turn out the way we want it to. Or God tells us to go do something and we try and it's not working out like we want to. And so we get out of the water and go back home. But yet Naaman, he dipped once, he dipped twice, he dipped 3 times, 4 times. I mean, after 5 times, you would be tired too. You would be sick and tired of doing this and nothing happening. It didn't say he gradually got better. No, it just says he dipped and came up and dipped and came up and dipped and came up. And it wasn't until the last time, what God had told him to do, on the 7th time, he came up and he was restored. But it wasn't that he was just restored. I want to go back and I want to read exactly what it said about that restoration. It said that his skin, right? Let me get back to it right here. It says that his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Not just restored, but better than it was. Perseverance. one time, two times, three times, fighting through it, fighting through the scandal, fighting through the rumors, fighting through the disappointment, fighting through the unmet expectations, fighting through doing what God wanted to do, not what he wanted to do, doing something he didn't know how to do, but just doing it, listening to servants, people that he shouldn't even be listening to, not just one servant, but two servants, and yet finally, after he did all those things, a long journey, people. I don't know if it was days, weeks, or months. We don't know, but it doesn't matter. It was a journey. It was a process. And finally, he came up and he was restored. What are we going to do? How are you going to live? How are you going to, where are you at in your journey? One, two, three, four, five, six, or are you at seven? And this is for all of our journeys, all of the time. Doesn't matter how old or young we are. It doesn't matter what we look like in the mirror. It doesn't matter the level, the amount of sin we have. It doesn't matter if we think we're good or if we think we're bad. It doesn't matter if we think we're way off the scale, away from God. You're off the reservation, or if you need to be with him, right? Doesn't matter. All of us are in the same process. We need to be like Naaman. We need to have humility. Right, we need to be humble enough to finally give in to ourselves and say, we give in to God and we say, we'll do what you ask us to do. Perseverance to keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. One foot in front of the other. I've been saying since January out at the Southwest, I started this analogy. I think every day God is just asking us literally. You know, I mean, sometimes he asks us to take really big steps. But it really is. I think he's just asking us to put one foot in front of the other. Just, and sometimes we have to feel our way to see where that step is, just to feel our way in the darkness. Just one more step. One more step gets us to number two from number one, and it gets us from number two to number three, and it keeps us going, and it keeps us going, and it keeps us going until we finally get to seven. It requires patience. I'm sorry, I've already confessed, I don't have a lot of that, but it does require patience. It requires obedience, just saying, I'll do it, Lord. I will do it. And then it requires faith. Faith to know that it's not up to us, but it's up to the Lord to move us and to give us the strength and for him to do the work. All the work, all the time. It's up to us just to show up. Doesn't mean it's easy, right? It is simple. It's a simple process. It just doesn't mean it's easy. And so I just want you to think, we're going to, this last song that we're going to sing here in just a minute, as we think about magnifying Christ, as we think about Christ being magnified, is that really, why did Elisha tell Naaman to go do that so publicly? Why did Naaman have to expose his sin for one reason? Both parts of that are for one reason. Go do it publicly. So the Lord could get the glory. Expose your sin. Show the world your weakness. So when you are healed and you are restored, they'll know it's not because of you, but it's because of God. So God will get the glory. What do you need this week? What do you need today? What do you need in your marriage or in your personal life? What do you need in your relationships? What do you need in your jobs? What do you need with your children? What do you need? Naaman needed healing. We all need restoration. Amen? We all need restoration. Let's pray for that. Lord God, I'm so thankful. Lord, I'm just asking that you would give us restoration. Lord, that you would show us the pathway. Lord, and most of our pathways are going to be different. In some way or another, Lord, rarely do we all get to travel exactly together in step with each other in the exact same direction, Lord, but we all end up at the same place. We end up with you. Lord, we end up with you. And so show us a way. Lord, for someone, Lord, it might be financial. For someone, it might be relational. For someone, it might be loneliness. For someone, it might be starting a new job or they're just at a new place in life. Lord, I don't know. I don't know. But Lord, you know the way. Goodness, you said you are the way. You are the truth and you are the life. Let us follow you. Let us follow you to receive that restoration. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand and let's close in worship. And really, let's magnify the Lord. Let Christ be magnified in the work that he does in us. Three, four. Amen. Amen. name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, go from this place today carrying the love of Christ with you, asking Him, maybe even showing you where those spots are in your life, some that you can't see that have been hidden from even your own sight. And Lord, I just pray that you would give us restoration. Show us the pathway. Show us the pathway to restoration. And let us have the qualities and the characteristics to follow through. In the name of Jesus, all the people said, amen. Amen. Y'all have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.